I think they like you, Steve.
Thursday, okay? Just remember Thursday. Thursday. Can you remember Thursday?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go. 611 high. No, November 29th. Date your checks to the show accordingly. This is show number 1270 at Cochran Show. Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, at Cochran Show on Twitter. Mark Carmen, do you follow me on Twitter?
Of course. I do, Steve.
Oh, okay. Good. I was going to get back. See how mad I got right there?
Yeah.
Like before I even knew the answer. I was
That's
like,
all right. I appreciate you having my back.
You kidding me?
Chuck Todd's coming up. That'll be good to talk to Chuck. Blackhawks Winter Classic jerseys to give away. I got some politics later, including Dan Lipinski, who apparently doesn't want Nancy Pelosi to be the Speaker of the House. I also talk to him about that. Dean later. We have a Christmas Pete today.
We do. Somebody's going to get a $100 gift card to Tree Time in Lake Barrington.
And Christmas Pete will tell you everything you need to know about Christmas, at least for today. At 6:12, let's jump to the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, I completely agree with. Mayor candidate Bill Daley says Chicago could consider a commuter tax. I think that's, if you're visiting, if you work, you shouldn't have to pay. But
don't they
a commuter
already
tax
have
for visitors.
Yeah.
About $75. What's $75? $75 if you come into town. It'll cut down on traffic. Maybe not great for business, but imagine how much easier it would be to get around.
You know what I find fascinating about that is that has been pitched over and over and over. I remember Alderman Ed Burke during the Daley years, Bill Daley's brother, had thrown it out, and Daley had always smashed that. So I wonder if...
It's doable. It's very doable. Maybe it's not 75.
I guess...
Maybe it's 59.50.
If you live in San Francisco, you live in New York City... They already have this kind of commuter tax where you have the bridges, and if you live in Queens, the only way to get to Manhattan is to pay whatever that toll of the
But what did Daley say? Did Daley say it's because of the congestion, it's because of the parking, it's because of what?
I think it's added revenue.
He has to come up with money.
For the pensions to pay.
The
next mayor
it's a cash grab.
Is going to be going to need to find these revenue streams.
I really don't seriously hate the idea, but there has to be a way to do it. In London, it's very easy. You know, in London, you don't have a bridge situation necessarily, but you just go online before you come into town. There's cameras everywhere, and you click twice, and you pay your $7 or whatever it is. And if you come into town and you haven't paid your $7, they have a way of fast-checking the fact that you didn't.
Really?
And you get hit with a fine, and it's all done online.
Wow.
Mr. Daley suggested marijuana, casinos, commuter tax, real estate transfer tax, and reforms to the system.
All in one building.
Mm-hmm.
you can get your legalized marijuana when you get the slots, and you can pay your commuter tax.
You should pay right at the old post office.
Right.
Right there. We'll put a toll and just,
That's what we need is another toll.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's like when you go to Sanibel Island, you have to pay to cross the bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
I want them to charge a lot of money to take the Ohio feeder ramp, Ontario one when I leave the city.
It's very cloggy.
So to
it's
get
cloggy.
People off of it.
It's very, very cloggy.
Charge me $10. That way, let's get
I mean, it works for the Skyway. If you're an Indiana commuter, you could pay the whatever $8 it takes to get from Northwest Indiana to here, and you have not as much congestion. It's none.
The old post office, that whole area, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, it's a lot like Sanibel, Iowa. Very, very similar.
Yeah, what's on the other side? You're like, wow. Yeah.
Steve, are you for the commuter tax?
I don't have a feeling about it one way or another.
Good call, because you're a journalist.
But I do believe that we have to find some money to pay for this pension problem somewhere. It's not going to go away. So,
no. Casino.
Just get the weed
always
legalized.
Just get the weed legalized.
That's my hot take for the
Thank
morning,
you, Cheech.
And
next.
As a property owner, I have to tell you, I don't want another real estate tax hike. That's sure.
Right.
I guess I appreciate Bill Daley's honesty because he said, we got to find money. We're going to look everywhere.
Yeah. Gambling and drugs, that's the answer.
I got the answer for you. Soda tax.
No, it's soda tax.
Well, it was popular before. Why not bring it back? A new Chicago Public Schools office created to investigate allegations of student-on-student sexual violence has handed over 600 cases, or handled over 600 cases so far this school year. District officials testified that yesterday to the City Council's Education and Child Development Committee. Chicago Tribune did a landmark piece of reporting on this. 600 is a crazy high number, but I don't know how that compares to the number from before. And I mean, hopefully it's down, even though it sounds insane.
Yeah.
Next, toxic waste from 22 coal plants in Illinois. Hey, what about the clean coal? Puts drinking water for nearby communities at risk. That's understandable, and that has to end. And it's not as simple as saying coal has to go. We got to find jobs for people who work in coal plants when coal plants get shut down.
It said that there was two of the 24 coal plants did not have toxic around it. So
two of the 22?
Two of the 24. So 22 of them.
Maybe they can.
Oh, 22 do, I guess.
People who work in coal plants, when we shut those down, can be in charge of filtering our water.
You know what? They could go work at the casinos and marijuana, actually.
They have to put it all together.
Or maybe they could be in charge of the commuter tax.
There you go.
Yeah. The reality, too, is that there are fewer people working in coal mines because it's become more automated nowadays, so fewer people in coal mines.
Don't tell that to the president.
I know.
Are you crazy?
Whatever.
Next, two little words in U.S. markets go pop. Jeremy Powell, Jerome, if you prefer, said the central bank's benchmark interest rate was just below the neutral level, raising investors' hopes the Fed might soon end its push-up to drive rates. Everybody assumed it'd go a quarter point to a half point higher. And yesterday, when there was just, it's got crazy Wall Street is, when there was a whisper that maybe it would go no more than a quarter and maybe stay even for December, the market shot up 600 points. Just because somebody went, ah, I don't know. That's what he did. He made that noise. He went, ah, I don't know.
Right. He stumbled in his answer.
pardon me. Next. I mentioned this at the top. Nancy Pelosi may still be in trouble. Carbs, cover me.
Nancy might be in trouble, Steve, and but she might not
Pelosi.
Be.
How's that cough button working?
Oh, excellent.
Nancy Pelosi overwhelmingly won the Democratic nomination for House Speaker. However, there's 32 Democrats who voted against her, suggesting she could still face a floor fight. The question is, and the same thing with everything with the Democrats, who's next? Who is going to step up? And finally this. LeBron James, Cindy Crawford, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Lindsey Vonn have teamed up to launch a health and wellness company called Ladder. L-A-D-D-E-R will offer four core products, a couple of protein powders, a greens powder, and an energy powder. They'll eventually expand to snack foods, too. This is a great thing because this is what we need. We don't have any of these side items on the shelf. There's nothing like this. There's no products out there.
So do you think, like, Lindsay's at the Whole Foods in California runs into LeBron, and he's like, hey, have you been using I got this powder. I'm thinking me, you, and Cindy get together.
Well, you think about it. These four.
What's Arnold doing?
These four. Call him. Anybody got a cell?
Yeah, I do the powder too.
These four are real serious entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So, you know, this may be a thing.
And the best part, they probably all have the same management. So that's how they all know each other. They're probably not friends.
Funny
they're
you
probably,
say that.
They probably are all rep by the same people who...
Steve Mandel. Also,
yeah.
Steve Mandel
also,
handles all four
who also owns a powder company. So he's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's synergy.
This would be perfect for Steve.
Yeah.
Top six is complete. And now this.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
He is Nick at night. DiGiulio, he knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick, comfortably in his jammies now at home, preparing to get a good morning sleep. But before he does that, you have to tell us, don't you have a movie coming up?
I do, and this is really a very cool thing, Steve, that's coming up. Now, you know, normally the first Tuesday of each month, I have my film club. We do a screening, and it's always at the AMC Rosemont 18. And we are doing that. It's this coming Tuesday, December 4th, and we're showing the Bill Murray classic Scrooged.
Yeah.
Which is just a hilarious movie and a great movie. But here's the great thing. Right down the street from where we show the movies at the AMC Theater is the Crown Plaza Hotel. And in the Crown Plaza Hotel is the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant. And we reached out to the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant, and they're going to do something really cool for us. We're going to meet there at 6 o'clock and have like a Christmas Murray Brothers party. And anybody who's going to be part of the film club who has their ticket or proof that they're going to see Scrooge gets 15% off all their food.
Oh, how about that? Nice. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and we reached out to them, and they were very excited about it. You know, we're showing Scrooge. So at 6 o'clock, we're going to meet there at the Murray Brothers Caddy Shack, and it's a very cool place. I went there because it's in the hotel where we do the Flashback Horror Convention every year. And so I went there this past summer, and it's really, really awesome. If you're a Bill Murray fan or a Murray Brothers fan or a Caddy Shack fan, it's great. And again, 15% off if you got your ticket. And, you know, you can actually call and make a reservation at 847-443-3673. And, tell them you're with my film club, and there you go. And then the tickets for Scrooged are on sale at amctheaters.com. It's $10 to get in. Parking is free for the movie, and then everything is separate. But so we're going to have like a little Christmas party at Murray Brothers Caddy Shack. Well, and to talk about it more, late tonight, early tomorrow morning on my show, Joel Murray's going to be on.
Ah, that's good. So, tell Joel hi.
Yeah.
Scrooged, The Ref, or Die Hard? What's the greatest Christmas movie ever?
For me, it's The Ref.
The Ref, yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's the. I mean Judy Davis alone.
Those are your three great Christmas movies: yeah. The Ref, Scrooged, and Die Hard. I didn't know that. Nick taught me that a long time ago. You taught me that those are the three greatest Christmas movies.
The Ref is like is absolutely my favorite Christmas movie. I watch it every year when they're sitting around the table with the candles on their heads. It kills me every single time.
See, I see that as more of a Thanksgiving movie because of the dysfunction. But certainly, I mean, you have that at Christmas as well.
Yeah, exactly. So,
who plays the wife?
It's going to be a fun night. I'm sorry?
Who's the wife in The Ref? The one that...
Judy Davis.
That's Judy Davis. She's really good at being nuts.
She is. Well, I think she's a little bit nutty in real life, but that's just me.
Movies that are out now, your favorite movie of the year, do you have one yet?
Well, not mine, but my parents. But I have to say right now, Steve, there are a lot of really good movies out. For people who have, you know, who thought we had a drought for a little while, there are a lot of very exceptional movies right now. My parents' favorite movie. My dad went nuts over Green Book. This is the one with Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali. Road trip movie. I'm sorry.
Did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. Okay. That's one of the best movies of the year. But my parents went nuts. Like they just were like, "This is the greatest movie I've ever seen." My dad went nuts.
Are you going to do a top 10 for your parents? Your parents' top 10 movies of the year?
Yeah, we will do that when we get to the end of the year, yeah, because we still got a bunch of stuff to see. But Green Book is really a wonderful movie, one of the most genuinely and thoroughly entertaining movies I've seen all year. And it's the two performances, these guys, they're two of the best performances of the year. And the relationship and the chemistry between these two guys is magic. And it is a movie about, you know, a white driver, a black musician going through the Deep South in 1962. And so it deals with all the civil rights issues that go along with that. And these two guys, you know, Viggo Mortensen, white guy, racist, and Mahershala Ali, this musician who is going through the Deep South. And it's about how they both change and their relationship. And here's the weird thing, Steve. This is a really wonderful, very funny, very entertaining, very smart movie, and it's directed by one of the Farrelly brothers.
Yeah, well, you know, they have a serious side, the Farrelly brothers. I know when I spent time with them in the war.
Can I ask a movie question?
Sure.
Hey, Nick, that new Steve Carell movie where he sets up the doll land,
yeah,
you know?
Welcome to Marwen opens December 21st. Yeah.
Are those dolls, are those actors that look like dolls, or are they, is that animation or
that's
something?
CGI. That's totally CGI. And the director of that movie is the great Robert Zemeckis, who I spent an entire summer showing movies of this past film club this past year. And that to me is one of the, that's the movie that I think that's the movie I'm most excited about.
Well, Steve Carell's career has taken an interesting turn, right? He's got two very serious movies coming out this month.
Here's another one that's out right now that you should see, and that's Beautiful Boy.
Yeah.
With him and Timothy Chalamet.
Well, that's three. That's right, because there's another one that involves a beating.
That's
Welcome to Marwen. That's what we're just talking about.
Yeah. All right, well, there's the two then. We're back to two. We're at three. We're back to two. But I bet he's thinking about a third serious movie. He just hasn't released it yet.
But Beautiful Boy is out now, and I can't recommend it highly enough. And it's great. And here's another one that really, like, nobody's really going to see. It was shot here in Chicago, and it's one of the best movies of the year, and that's Widows. with Viola Davis, an incredible cast about these four women whose husbands were they're bank robbers, and they end up getting killed, and so they pull off the heist that they were planning, that the husband was planning before. Shot here in Chicago, really exciting, lots of twists and turns, and great performances, and no one is going to see it.
Yeah, no, it was a dog last week. All right, before I let you go, I don't have time to do this during the show. Maybe you can make a couple calls before you doze off. I've got a concept that you and I can co-write, and here's the elevator pitch. It's the Cars for Kids band, the Jingle Kids, and every time they sing the song, people go out and commit crimes or commit murder. What do you think? Huh? You like it?
Yeah, it's the Christmas Purge.
Yeah. Okay. All right. See, you've already made it better. all right. Give them the website where they got to go for tickets one more time for Tuesday.
AMCtheaters.com is the website to get tickets for Scrooge. And if you want to make your reservations for the Caddyshack restaurant, which is going to be great, we meet there at 6 on Tuesday the 4th, and that's 847-443-3673. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that, man.
Thank you, buddy. And headlines are next on 720 WGN.
Welcome to Sunday.
Wait a second.
What day is it? The date's
wrong. May. Thursday.
What year?
Wait, what?
Hello, you there, boy.
Me, sir?
Yes, you, my good fella. What day is today?
Today?
From NBC News in Washington, the longest running show in television history. This is Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
If you remember the movie The Usual Suspects, and I don't want to hear anybody go, spoiler alert for a movie that is 23 years old, but every day as this thing continues to twist and turn as Chuck Todd joins us, Chuck, this feels like we're going to find out eventually who Kaiser Soze is, but I don't know who it is. I don't know.
By the way, thanks for the new walk-up music. It's a new asset. Somebody had a lot of fun with the... Fun with that.
That's the great Super Joe getting it done.
Well done, Joe.
All right, I'll have to walk off. Right, I'm leaving.
By the way, on the whole Usual Suspects, are we allowed to watch that movie anymore? Kevin Spacey movies, you know. Right,
anything involving Me Too, I'm not sure. Sandberg,
I think Chuck. Yeah. What we go by is Justin in the studio. His wife will let us know if we're allowed to watch things or not based on the Me Too movement. Right. So we'll run it by her.
As long as we have somebody in charge of that.
Yeah, she's in charge.
Just tell me what the
she's on
call.
That desk.
Yeah.
All right, so you talked to Roger Stone, and you talked to Manafort, and you've talked to everybody. Who's lying to you? I mean, are they all?
I don't know if Manafort and Roger Stone know the difference between lying and the truth.
Yeah, good point.
And I say this not with total like cynicism or sarcasm. They have lived in a different world. They have created their reality. They have lived this sort of bizarre, high-priced consultant world where money comes in weird ways and all of this stuff. So I actually think that their sort of moral compass is just askew. And that's what I think has made this, probably made Mueller's job that much harder. They don't have any fear about the federal government. They don't have... In some ways, they don't have any fear about fighting with them, with lawyers. You know how sometimes you'd have some people. I know, if the FBI were bumbling or knocking on my door, I'd be like, "Yes, sir. What do I need to do, sir? You know, I don't want to go to jail." Those type of things.
Right.
That isn't what you have with here. That's why, you ask that question. I think it's in the Post did a good job this morning about how, in many ways, Paul Manafort and Roger Stone are the original, are sort of the original creators of the swamp. In Washington, they sort of paved the way of how to really make millions in Washington. You know, it was chump change before Black, Manafort, Stone, which was a powerhouse law firm, lobbying shop that started in the early '80s after Reagan. They changed the game. Yeah. They changed the rules and made a ton of money.
Chuck, the story out of The Guardian this week about whether or not Paul Manafort had meetings with Assange at the Ecuadorian embassy in London seems to be one that the salacious in headline, but other news organizations have been quick to sort of pump the brakes. They can't. You see them all the time.
Not saying, even just pump the brakes.
Yeah,
we've not reported it.
Yeah, right. But that's. But the point being, you know, in this day and age where there's so much out there, and of course that's a huge smoking gun. How are we supposed to, as citizens, take that news?
I think here's what I try to say to folks, and you know, and they could take it for what it's worth. But I'll say this to my own in-laws when they see something. Oh my God, this is huge! And I say, you know, it's not true. And they'll say, how do you know? And said, has your own local news reported on it? You know, it's funny. It's like the thing with the Guardian story. No one else has reported it. I mean, there've been a few aggregator websites that have noted, hey, the Guardian's reporting X, but nobody's been able to confirm it yourself. But unfortunately. You know, it's one of those, like, consensus. If you have three or four news organizations also able to report it on their own, then you can feel good about it. But I'll be honest, the minute it was reported, I was skeptical because it is very hard to sneak into the Ecuadorian embassy. It is under surveillance.
Right.
This is something we would have known a long time ago. Hmm. Okay? We would have known this a long time ago. The people that go in and out of visiting Assange have been outed before. If Manafort had been one of those people, I think we would have known long before the speculation in The Guardian. Now, what I do believe is, is it possible that somebody associated with Manafort, somebody representing Manafort, met with Assange? Well, that's a whole different story, right? And it's very possible that basically The Guardian source, you know, you could have the story right, but be missing one key part of it, like Manafort confidant versus Manafort. Right? You know, that sort of thing. So, you know, look, Assange is a huge part of this story at some point. And by the way, I think he's going to get extradited. I think that sometime, and I didn't think this before, I think he's going to be in an American jail cell in the next 6 months.
I agree with that. And also, if you're the Ecuadorian embassy, you really need to clean that room. You know.
By the way, literally and figuratively, I think they're done.
Yeah.
I think the Ecuadorians are done with this. I think, you know, and we know how quick the Brits will be to extradite him. I think this thing is coming to an end.
In overtime. All right, now, here's a question. Who's the real Lindsey Graham? Is it the guy with John McCain? Is it the guy that went nuts during the Supreme Court confirmation hearings and seemed like he would do anything Trump wanted him to do, including walk in front of a bus? Or is it the guy that stood up yesterday and said the president's wrong? We need a CIA briefing on the Saudis on the Khashoggi.
Look, I think when it comes to foreign policy, you know, he doesn't play politics first. I think this is his wheelhouse. He believes he knows it. So on this stuff, there's sort of a sure-footedness in him that it's sort of the politics of this be damned. But on this other stuff, Lindsey Graham's also up for re-election in 2020. And Lindsey Graham is from a state like South Carolina that if a primary challenger showed up, he could be in deep trouble. So what I always say about when folks ask me this Lindsey question, which I get asked frequently about him, well, which Lindsey is he? I always say he's all of them. And he always has been. Don't forget, this guy was a House impeachment manager. He is an honest, ethical partisan. Okay? But he's a partisan. You know, I mean, I go to my Democratic friends, like, what, you're upset that Lindsey Graham isn't acting like a Democrat and this makes you angry? It's like, he's not a Democrat. But he's ethical, he's moral, he's honest. But like many politicians, he wants to win. So if you look at his moves through the prism of him wanting to win in 2020 and knowing that nobody cares about foreign policy in elections very often, then the Lindsey Graham you're seeing is the Lindsey Graham you're going to get for the next year.
Chuck, the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense came out and said that there's no smoking gun, connecting the Crown Prince.
Yeah, but did you read that statement? I mean, there's no direct evidence, like...
The question I have, what I don't understand about that story is the defense secretary in particular, James Mattis. He has been someone who everyone has spoken well about his integrity. They said he's a guy who doesn't necessarily fall in line and in step with the president. So why are we so skeptical of him as being a mouthpiece for the president?
What do you mean? Why isn't he getting criticized for doing this?
No, my question is that we
supportive of him.
All automatically, we assume that this is just White House press release, or that they're trying to shove a lie. But I don't understand if Mattis comes out and he hasn't in the past been so as a mouthpiece. Right. Why can't we take him at face value and say maybe there is something in this report that says that maybe the Crown Prince had nothing to do with it?
I think that seems to be hard to square with every other, essentially with what the Senate, what we've heard from plenty of congressional leaders who've been briefed on what they heard. And look, I think Mattis was careful with his words. There's no smoking gun. But look, I think Mattis and Pompeo, I do think we're being too naive by just calling this a Trump. This is Trump trying to do this. Look, there is a... You know, the dealing with the Saudis is a controversial thing inside the government. And defense officials, whether in Republican administrations or Democratic administrations, love working with the Saudis. And because strategically, you know, we need the Saudis more than really any other ally in the Middle East, I think, for military strategic reasons. So I think... Let's not assume it's just as narrow as we say. I think in Mattis, it's about what he thinks is in the best interest of military strategy is making sure we don't overly alienate Saudi Arabia. And look, that's been the problem in dealing with Saudi Arabia for 40 years now, right? I mean, and one thing I'll give the president credit for with Saudi Arabia is he's the first president to be honest about what our relationship's about. Yeah, right, purely transactional. True. It's about oil. It's about money. About economic. You know, basically, the Saudis have bought our relationship, and he's been more straightforward about it. You know, every other president goes, "Oh, it's complicated." No, it's not complicated. It was about money and oil.
It's kind of accidental honesty.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, it's not just accidental. This is the type part of Trump that I think that his opponents underestimate, and his appeal to his folks, which is. There is this aspect of him that he appears to tell it like it is, and every once in a while he truly does tell it like it is. And on Saudi Arabia, he's been telling it like it is.
Nobody's more surprised than he is when it happens. all right, it's Chuck Todd. Hey, before I let you go, I want to go back to the Sunday show just quickly. Danielle Pletka is a regular with you guys. She's a bright woman, and I say that because it leads to the next statement. What do we have to do to educate the country and the world on the difference between climate change and weather? Because her comments about, well, it's been really cold, doesn't jive.
I know, and this is the whole how people have connected temperature to the issue of climate change. It's like is one of those. It's probably the most successful business, you know, talking point that was developed about 20 years ago on the issue of climate change. And it's, I think it's a reminder of just how well that talking point has made its way into many, many conservative circles on that front. But it is one of those cheap pushback lines that a lot of conservatives have used over the years. And I mean, the president himself has gone there with temperature. You know, it goes to when it was first called global warming, right? When the reality is it's the shifting climate.
Yeah,
Chicago's going to be the new Vegas, by the way.
I know. Listen, all you guys are coming here. Everybody on the coast. That's why we're getting a commuter tax, because everybody's coming here from the coast. We got to charge you guys to get in. It's our friend Chuck Todd.
Open a few casinos, man.
The 1947 podcast, Meet the Press and MTP Daily. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. It's Chuck Todd. Again, this is just fact.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up. This is fact. Weather is short-term changes, minute to minute, hour to hour. Climate is long-term trends that affect the condition of the planet. Those are two very different things. And Danielle Pletka is too smart not to know that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah,
by the way, Trump, I think, does believe it. Yes. I've got to a point. I don't expect the President of the United States to know these things.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We've got a lot of funny textures. Very funny audience. Very smart audience. Very funny audience. They wanted to know why Chuck was riding a horse during that phone call. that clipping and clopping during the phone call it's kind of a touch and go situation, because when you get a guest on, here's talk show backstage for you. Right. When you get a guest on, you have to decide, is the phone line airable, or is it worth cutting it off and redialing, and maybe you don't get the guest back. Yeah. I made the mistake of thinking it would clear up, or Chuck was on a horse. It could be the other. It could be that Chuck was on a horse.
I think I agree with some texters that it's just his phone is tapped.
Oh, that's probably it.
You know, it's
sure,
the CIA.
He's the host of Meet the Press.
They want to know what Meet the Press is talking about.
One quick bit of news from yesterday, speaking of news and complete honesty, which is, of course, the world we live in. You know that giant cow that was all over the news?
Love that cow.
Technically, it was a steer. Steve.
Exactly. Thank you for clearing that up, Steve. Knickers is not a cow. Knickers is an Australian steer, which is why Knickers is the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of cows, because he's a steer. Now, he's big for a steer as well, but he's a steer, not a cow. And obviously a smart steer, because he's hanging around with all the chicks.
Right. So he had this big steer with all these little cows, so obviously he's going to look a little bit bigger than
Thank God that mystery's been cleared up, and the internet can exhale. Yeah.
I love all these little cows. Yeah. There's no little cow.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. Steve's got one at his house.
This steer was, what they say, he's as big as a small van. Is that it?
Yeah. That's his... Yeah, he was an SUV.
Yeah.
Yeah, he absolutely was. 1.5 tons, I believe. Minute before 7, news next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
11 minutes after 7, the Steve Cochran Show. And this is show number 1270. At Cochran Show on Twitter. Follow me there. Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Steve Cochran, blah, 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 on Instagram and everywhere else. So, Pat Brady's here. Pat, how are you?
Great, Steve. How you doing?
Nice
I got to clear something up here quickly, though. I was just informed by my buddy John Musgrave that little cows are called heifers.
Mm. Oh, well, thank you, John. Thank you, John. Cleared appreciate up. That information.
Yeah. Since I'm the only one in this room that's ever been on a farm, I thought I would clear that up.
Right, well, that's not true. That's
what
not true.
What farm have you been on?
I milked a cow on a one-legged stool. A three-legged cow on a one-legged stool.
For what station?
No, it wasn't. I grew up in dairy farm country in upstate New York, you hick.
Listen, I bet I'm a hick.
I didn't see you at the barn dance.
You ever did tassel corn or walk beans?
Easy.
I had a job. I did tassel corn as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bailed hay?
See?
Yeah, I bailed hay.
I bailed hay.
Okay, I apologize. Yeah. I that's such a nerve.
Back it down, Jethro.
I've been to 2 weddings on a farm, Pat,
yeah.
For the record.
Oh, wow.
I was 27 before I got the smell of farm off me. That's how long I was around farms.
I told you guys Trump couldn't win. Why would you ever believe anything?
That's a great point. That's a very good point. At 7:12, Congressman Dan Lipinski is on the phone. Congratulations on the reelection, sir.
Thank you. And I want to let you all know I have milked a cow. Oh.
On a one-legged stool?
Well, no, I didn't go that far, Steve, but...
I never understood why the one-legged stool even existed. Put another leg on that thing. Put a couple more on there. What, are we short on legs? Come on.
Maybe where you're at, Steve.
Yeah, well, it's a dairy farm upstate New York thing. This doesn't have to be a long discussion, but I was amazed that your opponent, and I'm not going to say his name because he doesn't deserve the publicity, got 25% of the vote, and this is someone that espoused Nazi values, and here's why I bring this up. Stop voting straight ticket. Spend 2 seconds doing a little bit of research before you click a lever. You didn't, even if you don't like Lipinski, you don't have to vote for him, but you certainly don't want to vote for a Nazi. So for the 8 or 9 that did and intended to, the rest of you, pay attention. It just made me crazy.
Well, Steve, I'm glad you understand that's pretty much what happened, because if you look at the vote totals for all the 435 districts across the country, I ran the third most of any Democrat ahead of what the Democratic presidential candidate did in my district. So a lot of people who are not, a lot of people who are Republicans did not vote for my opponent. They voted for me. But party line voting has just become so prevalent today. And that's a problem. It's a problem for our country, and it hurts us coming together and solving problems.
Never more so than now should you not vote for every Republican or every Democrat. It's never been easier to get information, to do research. The turnout was great this time. Well, very good, and on the way to great. And you just got to do a little homework. And, you're not going to be a bad person if you've been a lifelong Republican or Democrat and you vote the other way on an office because you're supposed to. All right, moving on. You're trying to get people to get along in Congress. How do you do that legislatively?
Well, I'm in the Problem Solvers Caucus, which is 40 Democrats, four Democrats and Republicans, bipartisan group split down the middle. Last year, we had, in the past years, we had legislation that would have lowered health care premiums on Obamacare by 20%. We had a solution for the Dreamers. We couldn't get either of these to the House floor because the rules are really rigged against bipartisan legislation coming to the House floor. And so that's what the group of us was trying to do to get the rules changed for the new Congress. We're able to get some changes in there. The House should not just be run by the Speaker of the House, where the Speaker, you know,
absolutely
has a bill written up. All Democrats, all majority party members are supposed to vote for it. All minority party members are supposed to vote against it. That's not the way it should work. That's not what we learned on learned from Bill on Schoolhouse Rock. That's not the way it should work.
We'll sing the Schoolhouse Rock jingle before this is over. What do you feel about Nancy Pelosi? Where are you on supporting her or not supporting her?
Well, because Nancy Pelosi agreed to changes that we were pushing to open up the process more to bipartisan legislation, bipartisan amendments, we are, as of now, I'm going to support Nancy Pelosi. I only say as of now because we reached an agreement yesterday, but we need to see it put on paper to change some of the rules of the House. And this is going to be the first time in four decades, really, that we're going, over the last four decades, accelerated under Newt Gingrich, the Speaker got more and more power. This is the first time we're turning that around with some of these rules changes. But this is an opportunity that that we had. The American people want it. Pelosi needed our votes. So we're going to get this done. So, you know, I'll know for sure when the new rules are published, looks like I'll probably be voting for Nancy Pelosi because we were able to get this concession from her.
Congressman, it's interesting because the Democrats haven't been in charge of the House. They just had this big blue wave in November. When you look at the past speaker, Congressman Ryan and others, were the bipartisan members of your Problem Solvers Caucus, did they take the same approach to Paul Ryan? Did they step up and say, we're not going to vote for you as speaker until you put these changes in?
They did not at the time, but we came up with this last early last summer. The Problem Solvers Caucus came up with this because we didn't know who was going to be the majority party after the election. We knew Paul Ryan was out because he was leaving, so both parties knew that if they were in the majority, they would have a new speaker. And we said this is an opportunity to say, okay, we need to see some rules changes or else we're not going to put you in as speaker. And so the members on both sides of the aisle in our caucus got together and said we're going to do that. Since we won, the Democrats were the ones who went in and said to not just to Nancy Pelosi, but if anyone else wanted to run for speaker, you know, this is what we want to see you do.
Right, because you have to get along with the other side on some level, at least enough to get things done, like infrastructure. You got an important role, a powerful role, in whether or not infrastructure gets done. I said this yesterday on the air. If we're waiting around for a bridge to collapse with a school bus on it or a tractor or whatever, we're making a huge mistake. We got bridges about to collapse. We got rail problems. Are we going to get infrastructure done? And if it's even doubtful, why would it be at this point?
Well, it's the one thing President Trump talked about the night he was elected. He took him 14 months to come forward with a plan, which not even Republicans in Congress supported. It was just a completely crazy, unworkable plan. So I've been pushing, and others have in the Democratic Party, to say that if we get the majority in the House, this needs to be our first priority. I'm hopeful it's a first priority. I sit on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee. I may be the chair of the Rail Subcommittee, which is really crucial for the Chicago region. I'm hopeful the Democratic Party learned its lesson. Back in 2009, we had The big stimulus bill, infrastructure was only 6% of that. We saw the Republicans come in this time. They did not. They talked about doing infrastructure, didn't do it. And I think Democrats have learned their lesson, said this is the number one thing to do because this is what the American people want, all the American people, not just Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody. So I'm hopeful we get this done.
Well, it's take more than hope, so kick some tail to the best of your ability. And last thing before you go, when are the Democrats going to figure out how to take advantage of the easiest political win in history as the Republicans trip over themselves every single day and the Democrats can't find a leader without going back to the old ways? They can't even find a slogan. What's wrong with the Democrats?
Well, as one of my colleagues who right now is saying they're not voting for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker told me the other day, if you add up the age of the three top leaders of the Democratic Party in the House, they're older than the nation is.
Well, that's not necessarily a good thing, is it?
it'd be good to have some new blood in there. We've got some young people who were elected, younger members who were elected yesterday. To caucus leadership position, so that's good to see.
It's Congressman Dan Lipinski from the 3rd, and you can go to his congressional website for information on what he's up to at any given time. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
7:26, let me reintroduce Pat Brady from what company?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. And by the way, thanks for bringing your family over on Thanksgiving. You brought the kids over, and as I told you before, I like your kids much better than I like you.
I think it's nice. You got nice. We tried to buy a fruitcake.
Yeah, you may. Here's the story. The kids come in, and the kids, they range in age from 18 to 22.
Yep.
The kids come in, and they're all carrying donut holes. And I figured they held up a Dunkin' Donuts or something. And Pat made them bring gifts in this drive-by. And
we brought Maureen some wine.
Yeah, you went by Meijer, I believe, right?
Get the Meijer, yeah.
And the kids went in and bought donut holes.
Well, I tried to buy fruitcake because as a joke, right? Everybody buys fruitcake.
Sure, sure.
So the lady goes, I need a fruitcake. And she walks me out and she goes, oh, they're sold out. I go, people actually buy these things?
That's jokes.
I
think she was offended. Yeah. There's just a lot of jokes for fruitcake.
Could be a weapon. Anyway, I love your kids.
Thank
they're
you.
Great
love
kids.
You know, like they joke all the time. Like this morning I leave Grace and she goes, I'm going to do the Steve Cochran show. And she goes, Cochran. They think we have something going on. Too much time on the golf course.
They think they're
two old guys.
Yeah, two old guys hanging out a little too much.
Didn't they make Grumpy Old Men? They made a movie out of that.
They did, actually. Yeah.
Starring.
I think you were in it.
Yeah, or somebody was in it.
Starring.
The most valuable person on the planet for Thursday, November 29th. Grace Beyond Borders of NWI founder Marcus Martin, who's on the phone right now. Good morning, you MVPP.
Thank you, and good morning.
So tell people what Grace Beyond Borders is.
Grace Beyond Borders is a nonprofit organization that has been rescuing homeless women, children, and men out of deplorable, unsanitary, unsafe conditions by offering them a hand up, not a handout.
You're going to be sleeping outside for 30 nights between now and the end of the year?
Yes, I've already completed 18 of those nights. I have 12 more to go. But my final night is going to be on Christmas Eve.
And the point of this is to bring attention to the plight, obviously. But how did you come up with 30 nights? Because obviously you know what these folks go through.
Well, actually, over six years of this work with the homeless population, what was revealed to us was the number of what we call our invisible neighbors who are sleeping in over 30 plus different locations. So that's where I came up with the 30. And those locations varied from under a bridge, in the park, friends' apartments, on the floor, basement floors, just the bus shelter. So that's how I came up with 30, because I can demonstrate and show where our hidden population.
It's impressive.
Marcus, you're in night 18, or you're right in the middle of this. What have you learned about the experience of being homeless and sleeping outside from your first 18 nights?
Well, the first night, I didn't realize that the wind with the wind chill was going to be in single digits. And so being under the covers that I had on a park gazebo, it was just a frightening experience. I could only imagine individuals being out there and then under a bridge a few yards from the railroad track and trains coming through periodically during the night. I just couldn't imagine anybody sleeping in those conditions.
Well, and it's physically painful.
Physically, emotionally, I mean, it's unbelievable, but it's the reality of what's going on day, night after night, and I just could no longer look in the face of an individual, look in their eyes, and see that desperation, that, you know, that feeling of hopelessness, and something had to be done about it, and I had to bring to the attention of what's really going on.
Hey, Martin, so for all of us that aren't going to go sleep outside, you said that if you have 8,000 people skip a meal and they donate that money to you, that'll help you with the mission. Where does the money go?
Okay, those monies, the dollars will help open and operate a emergency shelter. The first one we would like to open up would be for women with and without children.
Right.
And then the second one. So those dollars will go to help open up. When I say open up the facility, that would also allow trained professional staff to be in place, counselors. We have counselors now and case manager, but we want to increase the number of staff that we will have at the site working.
You're doing amazing work, and people can sleep out with you and find out what it's like to help spread the word, but they also, of course, can help by contributing and volunteering time. The Facebook website is just search Grace Beyond Borders. Is there another place you'd send people at this point?
Yes, www.thefaceofgrace.org. There they can, if they like to donate, that's a site they would go to. And not, I encourage them not to forget the T-H-E, thefaceofgrace.org.
Right.
And also, if they want to mail a check or money order, send it to Grace Beyond Borders, Post Office Box 927, East Chicago, Indiana, 46312. And they can reach me by phone at 219-712-5192.
You're a good man, Marcus. Yeah. You're near the MVPP. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Marcus.
And thank you for having me on.
And Merry Christmas, 732. Pat Brady was a prosecutor in another life, and he's going to try to explain to us the legal, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like tangled Christmas lights at this point, and you're wondering if they're going to use them to choke them off.
Yeah.
So Pat will try to explain where we are with that coming up in just a moment. Headlines are next on 720 WGN.
Listen to Pat Brady. Listen to Pat Brady.
I wonder if Eric Edelstein didn't come in today because his song's not done. Think it's like a strike maybe at this point?
Yeah, he last time we walked out here a couple weeks ago, he was pretty mad.
Understandably.
Where's John DeCoss?
Sandberg, what do you want to give away?
I'm going to give away a Blackhawks Winter Classic jersey right now to the seventh caller. NHL Winter Classic jersey is now available to purchase both in the Chicago Blackhawks store and over the phone, 312-759-0079. And I'm going to throw in a Blackhawks prize pack.
Do we know what's in it?
We do not know what's in it, awesome.
Here's the thing.
I'm throwing it in.
But I said yesterday, we have to know what's in it to give it away.
I know. The team is keeping
the prize
pack.
What if it's like Tony Esposito's socks or something that from the last game that he played?
Yeah, I'm not sure. They're keeping tight-lipped on what the prize pack includes, but you're going to get it with the jersey if you're the seventh caller.
Well, we know
right
Pete
now.
Hassan listens every morning, as do most of the Blackhawks in that fine organization. Pete, call Sandberg and let us know what's in the prize pack.
I'm sure Pete's got other things to do than micromanage what's in a prize pack.
No.
However, the jersey, it pays homage to the 1934 black and white Blackhawks uniform, highlighting the Blackhawks crest and the heritage felt material.
What was the guy's name, Justin, that was on the 34 Blackhawks? Was it Mush March?
Yeah, it was Mush March.
Mush March, one of the great Blackhawks.
One of the greats.
And Rosie Couture.
Yeah, Rosie Couture. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you're going to get that and a prize pack.
Seventh caller.
Promises to be amazing. Yes, seventh caller. Right.
Rosie Couture, great forward and a fashion mogul.
Right. That's no really question. Great. Yeah. It's a wonderful scent. Pat Brady, in your years as a prosecutor and chasing bad guys around, you had to analyze evidence, and there were certain rules of law that you had to follow. So first off, what is a joint defense agreement?
When there is an investigation of multiple people or an indictment against multiple defendants, the defense team can talk to one another without waiving the attorney-client privilege. The privilege is this. If you make a statement that might hurt you, like Dragnet, right? Whatever he say may be used against you.
Mm-hmm. Nice old guy reference.
Yes. The attorney-client privilege allows you to make statements that might be incriminating to your lawyer because you want to promote a free flow of communication so you can have a good defense. When you have multiple defendants, they enter into these joint defense agreements so they can share information. But what happened with... I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, leading to Paul Manafort, had a JDA, a joint defense agreement, but Paul Manafort then took a deal. Took a deal with Bob Mueller. When you take a deal, can you still have your attorneys talk to other people?
Typically, the joint defense agreement's in writing, and it says the minute you begin cooperation with the government, you're out of the team, which makes sense because you can't be talking to the government and talking to your team. But this case, it seems to have gone the other way where they were messing around with Mueller.
Do you put any stock into the argument that we've heard just ad nauseum over the past few days? That Mueller was operating some high-level game to get Manafort to perjure himself or to get Trump to perjure himself that would lead to this or that, and eventually he'd be able to close the door on this thing.
No, and that you always hear that, the perjury trap, and Trump always says it's a trap. They just don't operate that way, particularly a guy like Bob Mueller, which violates legal ethics. It certainly violates your role as a prosecutor. The role of the prosecutor is to administer justice, means finding the truth, and then determine whether or not somebody should be charged, not play games and try to entrap people. So when you hear the president or anybody else say that that's what they're doing, it's nonsense, and particularly a guy like Mueller, who's a patriot and's been doing this a long, long time.
That means that this is going to play out the way it plays out, but it could also mean that we'll never see this report that Mueller is going to release, or will we?
It's an open question. I can't imagine that we wouldn't, but either way, and this is where I think the president put himself in a trick bag, there's going to be a congressional investigation that Mueller's going to have to present testimony to. So a lot of that information is probably going to come out, whether it's behind
closed doors. Will be leaked out.
It'll get out if it gets in the political process.
The overall, this past week, from your perch, how do you look at this? The idea that the Mueller team wants to quickly go to sentencing because of the way that they say that Manafort broke their deal or lied, and they have him in lie, and that Mueller may possibly be able to show some of his evidence in court proceedings. How do you see what's happened this week in the grand scheme of the story?
I like that you have Pat Brady on a perch.
He's got a perch. He's got a perch over there.
Don't snap the twig.
Thank you for catching that, Sandberg. No, I don't put much into all this week about that this is somehow going to reveal where Mueller is going. I don't think that's his objective, that they would set up this scheme to do that. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, these guys operate. Remember Ken Starr in the 90s? Every morning you'd see him walking out with his little Starbucks cup looking like a goof. And every day we knew what was going on with him.
Right.
Mueller's holed up somewhere in Virginia. Nobody ever sees the team. Nobody hears from him. There's very little to no leaks. So these schemes that they come up with, and I was watching the news last night, I'm like, this is all nonsense. I told you before, my first case ever, I was the low man on the totem pole, was with Bob Mueller on a very significant case indicting a very significant individual. And I came to the conclusion that the government couldn't conspire to order paperclips, let alone come up with some big scheme. It just doesn't work that way. Plus the agents, and this is where I got to defend the FBI when the president goes after him. FBI agents are patriots. They wouldn't allow nonsense. There's two exceptions we've seen in this case, obviously. It just doesn't work that way. These are career people.
Well, but I would even argue that the two exceptions you're talking about were caught out of context. I mean, you know, you can talk all day about whether or not they should have had affairs or shouldn't have had affairs, but the clips that were pulled, the texts that were released, and the game that Fox played made them sound like they were involved in an elaborate scheme to take down Donald Trump. It just is not true.
It was out of context, but it was also stupid.
Well, of course
it was stupid.
When you're
an FBI agent, you should know better. And listen, you get a job to be an FBI agent, you're a sworn peace officer, you should take these things more seriously.
Absolutely.
Why do you think Manafort lied?
Because I think, do I know him? No. Do I know him by reputation? I think his whole life's a lie. And it's not surprising that he would do this. I think part of it, and this is just my opinion, Trump sending these smoke signals that he's going to pardon people like he did last night.
That's a hell of a risk to make, though. I mean, it really is. You're 69 years old. I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about Manafort. If you're 69 years old and you think you could take this deal, then maybe you get 3 years. Okay, maybe you get five. You're out by 75. Now he's rolling the dice that he's going to get pardoned for the guy that has shown no, the president has shown no loyalty to anybody that's been loyal to him. It depends on the day. So the idea that I go, Donald Trump will definitely come through for me, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think, too, maybe if he's not in jeopardy anymore, there might be more reasons that Manafort could speak more freely. So that's another risk. But just by the way they violated this joint defense agreement makes me think they're operating in Trump world, not in the normal world. And I've said all along that the president seems to treat the Justice Department and Bob Mueller like they're low-level New Jersey gaming regulators. Right. I mean, this is the Justice Department. This is we're talking about basically interfering with our elections and whether his campaign participated in it. I can't think of matters more serious.
The pardon question, and I read this great piece about this week, that if pardoned, it's a federal pardon. Yeah. States would still have the option to go after Paul Manafort, and they would. And it also means that he would open himself up to testify in front of Congress without the ability to use the Fifth.
Yeah, because he's not in jeopardy.
Exactly. So the question would be, that seems like it would not necessarily be the thing that Paul Manafort would want.
No, that's what I was making the point. He has to speak because he's not... you can't compel somebody to speak. The Fifth Amendment protects that. So that creates problems for him. But I think everybody just take a deep breath and take a step back. This investigation is proceeding exactly like I've seen him before. And the thing I would think that would be disturbing to me in the White House or close is now we're starting to get to actually maybe there is some evidence of a conspiracy and there's some actual conversations that went on. That might be. I've never thought they're going to be able to prove up this conspiracy, at least at the White House.
But now you think it's possible.
I think it's possible. But here's another thing as watching all this come together. A typical defense for the guy at the top, like if you see these big white collar cases, like even Enron Kenley says, well, I didn't know what was going on. There comes a certain point when there's enough evidence where no matter what you say about it, I didn't know what was going on, the jury is going to assume you knew what was going on.
Wow. Yeah, and
here is my last thing. There's still a Justice Department policy that says don't indict a sitting president, and it's still unsettled law whether or not the Justice Department can actually indict a president under our Constitution.
Well, that'd be a real test of the politics of the Supreme Court, wouldn't it?
Well, it was briefed and argued in the Nixon era, but they never ruled. So mm-hmm. it would be a constitutional crisis, which we don't need. But it would be a fascinating discussion.
Would it be? Would you see? Not going that far, but finding a way that Congress would impeach the president in that regard?
I said all along, I think this ends up as a political impeachment. So they'll do it in the House. Now the Democrats control it, but you need to get 67 in the Senate. But I've always said, if he interferes somehow, get this with that guys like Whitaker or does something to impede this investigation, that he'll lose a lot of support in the Senate. He might get to 67 votes.
What comes of that, because we'll come back and talk about this in a second, the Saudi Arabian thing seems to have started a new flow against Trump in the Senate. And are we headed for that? Are we headed for the possibility of 67 votes in the Senate with the precursor that you don't want an impeachment, I don't want an impeachment, the right thing to do would be for this clown to step down, which he won't do. But impeachment's very, very bad for the country on every level.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Back with Pat Brady, 7:55. Eric Edelstein should join us, I believe, next week, unless he's still cranky. And what was that, Pat?
I will not be here next week, so Eric.
Where are you going to be?
I'm taking my youngest daughter, Grace, on a college visit to Colorado, which means Dad gets to go skiing for 2 days.
We're going to have to withhold your pay. Oh, wait, I don't pay you for this.
I'm just trying to get a parking spot. They charged me for coffee the other day.
Yeah, well, we got to make money somehow. Yeah, it's revenue stream.
Nice studios.
At least Eric and Kathy let me park there.
When are you going to come to grips with the fact that Kathy doesn't work there anymore? You got to let it go, man.
I haven't gotten over it yet. What about Manco? I mean, there's a lot of options.
Manco's about to be forced back into labor, but it's too long a conversation. All right, it's 7:56. I mentioned this to Chuck Todd an hour ago. Who's the real Lindsey Graham? Is it the best friend of John McCain? Is it the guy who threw a temper tantrum during the confirmation hearings for the Supreme Court? Or is it the guy yesterday who stood up to the president again? Who's the real Lindsey Graham?
I don't know. I'm not sure if that's driven just by South Carolina, his home state politics, where Trump has about a 98% approval rating, or he just does what he feels is right at the time, and it's not always consistent, but certainly a little bit different than when John McCain was still alive.
So first time the Senate has stood up to Trump in significant numbers and went public for the use of going public against Trump. Is this a sign that he is, now that the election's over, that he is losing the will bend over effect on the Republican side of the Senate?
Yeah, I do believe that. He's got a 60% disapproval rating right now. The election results, now that they're all almost done, were a lot worse than we thought a couple weeks ago. The numbers of Democrats that turned out. I mean, in Illinois, Trump lost the state by a million votes in 16, and he killed us in the western suburbs. So I do think that there's people that are going, you know, this is, may not be worth it anymore.
And last question, you got 20 seconds to answer it. Is impeachment more dangerous than Trump for the last 2 years, or is Trump more dangerous than impeachment?
I think impeachment's more dangerous. We've lived through a couple of them. It messes with the economy. It messes with the world's confidence in the United States. We take our eye off the ball. When we impeached Bill Clinton, we didn't follow Osama bin Laden. I think impeachment's worse. We can not let, you know what? I don't see a way he loses the Republican nomination the way the primaries are set up.
Well, it'd be nice if the Democrats got their head out of their... Oh, we're out of time. And, Pat, nice to see you. Have a good trip next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. See you, bud.
See ya.
Say hi to your kids. Back in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more.
And now, live from Channel 9, the co-creator of Moron Entertainment.
Yes.
Dean Richards, good morning.
Morning. Pardon my rumbling.
Didn't have breakfast?
No. You know where the setup is at WGN. It's right at my desk in the WGN newsroom.
In the very corner of the newsroom.
Very corner of the newsroom, allegedly for privacy, for quiet, which never happens. But for some reason, like, people mess with stuff on my desk every day.
Do you think people pretend they're on the radio? Do you think people go and they sit at the desk and they pretend they're on the air?
And, you know, I never even thought of that.
I think that's what's happening.
I will say, Dean, your desk is... in the middle of the open space, where if people are walk by, hey, I need a pen, grab it right here. You know, it's not a closed off, cornered area.
If only it were that, you know, I need a pen.
What if you, you know what you should do? Put police tape around
it. Where are my pants? Where?
Just take a couple of chairs and put police tape around it that only you can get through.
Oh, okay. I didn't think of that.
Well, that's saying I'm a thinker. Hi to Lourdes Duarte, your colleague and our friend.
Here?
I had lunch with her yesterday. She's delightful.
Really?
Yeah.
You should follow Lourdes on Instagram. She's been doing Instagram stories and live stories lately. Yesterday, she did one at the gym where she was doing her workout, and it is crazy. She's intense.
The crazy workout?
Yeah. Intense. Yeah. She also was in makeup, and so she looked really, like, she looked like TV ready, but doing her workout.
I walked into the makeup room yesterday when she was applying her eyelashes.
Ooh.
She asked me for eyelash advice.
Okay. Are you projecting? Are you sure it wasn't you?
Putting the eyelashes
yes.
on.
Are you saying it was Lourdes when, in fact, you were putting your eyelashes on?
All I could think about while I was watching her do this is so much trouble.
It's hard being a girl. I mean, ever since I transitioned. What? No, it's much harder being a girl. I mean, we're very lucky. We're very lucky.
Oh, it's just easy on so many levels.
Yeah. I mean, you know, shower once a week, you're good to go.
Yeah. We don't even have to comb our hair.
Boy, ain't that the truth. All right, we're coming up on 8:15, and I know what's coming up. We're going to talk about the Rolling Stones. We're going to talk about Ariana Grande. We're going to talk about Hugh Jackman. We're going to talk about Rocky, and we're going to talk about other stuff.
We have many things. That's why it is more on entertainment.
Right. Yeah, it's not just two morons talking about entertainment. It's literally more on entertainment.
Yeah, a couple of some stations will just give you one or two stories. We have more.
Please. And
underline the word more.
One last thing. I will not be here tomorrow. So if anything you want to throw in that's stupid, and you want to make sure you get it in with me, think ahead so you can do it in the next break.
But I've been considered an honorary moron.
Yeah. Justin's definitely honorary.
Yeah,
I see.
He gave that to me last time I was in for you. Yep. He said, "No, you're an honorary moron."
So I got to be honest. Yeah. I think you're more of an apprentice moron.
You got to work up to assistant moron.
Yeah, yeah. we'll come back with the rest of that in a moment.
Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
All right, back to Dean now. And let's start with the Rolling Stones, who are coming to town. Do they know they're coming to town? I mean, they're, you know, at this age?
They have not been aware of any city that they've been in since 1972.
Okay, just wanted to be clear on that. Did I tell you I paid for tickets to the last Stones concert I went to?
Yeah. That's crazy. Do they know who you are?
Yeah, that's why they charged me.
Steve Cochran does not pay for stuff.
Ariana Grande news. What's happening there?
What about the Rolling Stones?
I thought you told me already.
Well, no, they're coming to town. We knew that they were.
Wow. And I'm making fun of their forgetfulness? Look at this.
I know you're in a hurry.
No, I'm not, actually.
We knew that they
were coming. Take your time. I'm on until
10. June 21st, but yesterday they announced a second show, Steve. That's the big news. The second show is going to be June 25th at Soldier Field. If you pre-register at rollingstones.com, you can buy your tickets this morning at 10. Otherwise, you have to wait until tomorrow morning at 10 at the very intimate Soldier Field.
Well, let me ask you this question, then. Do you think there's a chance they'll do a second show in Chicago? All right, I'm paying attention now. Ariana Grande, what's happening there?
She has put together a four-part docuseries that is going to debut on YouTube today. So you can go on the YouTube starting at 11 o'clock this morning and watch it. It really is a kind of a look back at her year musically. It doesn't include the Pete Davidson stuff, but there is behind-the-scenes footage, some live performances you haven't seen before, footage from the charity benefit concert that she did, the One Love Manchester concert following the bombing that took place there, the terrorist bombing that took place prior to that. So if you're a fan, lots of behind-the-scenes, lots of good stuff around Ariana Grande. 11 this morning on the YouTube.
And just so everyone knows, I will be able to tell you, Dean, tomorrow what it was like, because I will be looking at that.
Is it going to include the Thank You Next video that everyone's waiting for?
Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait for that.
Is this the video where she says...
I don't think it's going to be part of that.
Yeah. She says thank you next because she's moved on to another guy.
It's her new breakup song, which is one of the biggest songs in the country.
And she does.
Everyone's
it's a mean,
waiting on the
well, because the video is Mean Girls, and she has Aaron Samuelson. The actual Aaron Samuelson from Mean Girls is in it.
What, Steve? There is a trailer for the music video.
Oh, for the video.
Yes.
Well, there's not
she released
time.
The trailer. For
there's
the
not
music
enough
video.
Time wasted on the internet yet, right? So. Pete Davidson is, this is big news. I don't know if you guys heard. I'm very excited. Pete Davidson's back on Twitter.
He's, on Instagram. He's back
on Instagram. On Instagram.
Well, probably Twitter also.
Are the Stones doing a second show?
Does it sound exceptionally noisy in here today?
It really is noisy.
But you know what's happening? We're putting in new carpeting in the newsroom, and everybody is forced to... Can you guys make a little more noise there, please? If we're supposed to...
Again?
We're supposed to clean... Oh, God. Now we've unleashed the
Unabomber.
We're supposed to clean off our desks so they
can move them.
Carpet installers can do whatever it is.
You've got 50 years of showbiz tchotchkes on that desk. You can't move them.
I did not wait until the last minute to do this.
Oh, okay, because you're ahead of the game.
I like Dean. That would be my move. The moment you found out it was happening, you probably took care of it.
Yeah,
you would clean it up before the project came along. Hugh Jackman.
In case we ever change the carpeting.
Right, that's how she works. Hugh Jackman.
This is actually pretty big news. He is expected to make an announcement later on today about hitting the road in a one-man show. He's done these on Broadway before, one-man shows. He's been in...
it's called Huge.
Hugh Jackman. He's been in Boy from Oz and Oklahoma, and he hinted to us when we talked to him about a month ago that there was going to be a Greatest Showman live stage show, but this sounds like it's going to be a one-man show with Hugh that will include songs from The Greatest Showman, from Les Mis, from Boy from Oz, Oklahoma, Not only will it be on Broadway and London and cities around the world, but they are expected to bring the show on tour. I'd be shocked if he did not bring this show to Chicago, because he's got a lot of affection for our city. He's performed here live before. He loves Chicago audiences, because they're the greatest audiences in the world.
You know what, though? He's a really good-looking guy. He's really versatile. He can act. He can sing. He can dance. He's the kind of guy you really, you know, would like to find something wrong with. He actually could not be a better guy.
Yeah, and is a super nice guy.
It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And right now, I don't know if you know this, behind the scenes, Hugh Jackman is here helping to clean off on a Balaval's desk.
You know what I'm doing with Hugh Jackman? I'm taking him to that Second Stone show. Is this the last Rocky movie?
Apparently, Sylvester Stallone on the Instagram yesterday said that it may be time to close it all out. This is what he said. You can interpret this because it's a little bit vague. But he said, sadly, all things must pass and end. Like all good boxers, Rocky has found it hard to stay out of the ring.
Yeah, well, that's quite clear.
Sure. Sounds like it's pretty much over. Yeah. So, you know, he did his six Rocky movies, and then there have been the two Creed movies. It sounds like he's saying that Rocky is gone. But we'll live in our hearts forever. Sylvester Stallone right now helping Anna Balaval clean off her desk.
And you've got other stuff to talk about. Is there anything that you're going to talk about tomorrow that needs to be brought up today? Because I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
I'm going to be in New York tomorrow, so, you know.
Well, maybe Hugh Jackman and I can come by.
My desk's already clean.
Don't you erase your voice.
My work wife is yelling at me.
Well, don't you raise your voice at me. Hey, tell Anna we say hi.
Anna, Steve says hi.
Hi, Steve. I'm on TV at the same time.
That sounded sincere.
Didn't it really? Like, yeah, tell him to shut up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, have a great trip to New York tomorrow.
Have a day off tomorrow. I'm going to be seeing Mary Poppins, the new Mary Poppins movie. Lin-Manuel Miranda. And the Emily Blunt.
Ah, she's great.
And I'm going to interview Julia Roberts and Jason Momoa.
Julia Roberts?
Aquaman.
So, Dean, you know when you were over in Scotland and you were at a movie thing and then you ended up shooting apples off people's heads?
Yes.
What do you think the Mary Poppins junket is going to have you do? Floating around with an umbrella, possibly?
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That would be cool.
That would be fun for the media people.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Fun to float around or go fly a kite.
Or maybe you'll get like a pretty carpet bag to bring home.
Maybe.
Like,
yeah. Wouldn't be the first time somebody told me to go fly
a kite. Why don't you go fly a kite? I'm going to be working with Justin after the show to come up with stupid questions for you tomorrow.
Right.
So
I'm ready. I'll be ready with spontaneous responses.
It's Moron Entertainment. Thank you. Say hi to Keith Richards for me.
Oh,
what a whack job. Thank you, Dean. Good luck. And by the way, good luck. And I mean that. That's Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Coming up here in just a few minutes as the program continues, we're going to make our fantasy football picks and tell you where the situation is to this point. And a situation it is. We also have Chicago Blackhawks Winter Classic jerseys to give away. These black and white beauties from the 1934 team, I just found out, are not actually the 34 jerseys that were actually worn, because those are really, really old.
And I might throw in a prize pack, a Blackhawks prize pack.
Ooh. Did you get did Pete get oldie?
We did not get a description. They're keeping it under wraps, but it'll be amazing.
And I hear there's good news for Team Grzanich coming up in the football picks segment as well.
Is that a leak or is that accurate?
There is a leak. I heard it was a leak. Unnamed sources. Yeah.
Wow. Look at you working every angle of the morning.
On it.
And Christmas Pete as well. We're not giving away the Blackhawks price package until you find out what's in it.
I'm trying.
Call everyone at the Blackhawks.
This is a three-day project. Yes. Okay.
Christmas Pete coming up after 9 o'clock as well. At 8:30, it's time for those headlines. And the headlines are sponsored by treetime.com. And they will have a $100 gift certificate to give away during Christmas, Pete.
And here we are going into week six of the NFL season. Have we started our fantasy football situation yet?
No.
Remember last week I made Pete vice president of fantasy football?
I order you to be quiet.
Order anything he is.
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king then?
I've done a lot of thinking about it. I really have.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that.
So what I'm thinking is that each person on the staff here picks one player.
Yes, I love it. Love it.
One player.
Love it.
On what team?
You don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I'm just trying to think about how we can make this less complicated next year. I think we've reached the bottom, Commissioner Pete. I don't know how we pare this down any farther to limit the arguing on the show.
There's been arguing?
Yeah, even this year, there's a little back and forth that's gone on, mostly centered by Dave.
Dave complains about the order, or Mary has complained about Dave getting to pick first a few weeks in a row.
But I never get mad about Mary complaining because that's who she is.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
She even, she was highlighted in an employee spotlight that was hung all over the office. And I, what was the phrase she used? One of her qualities, she said, was that she's pessimistic. Is that what you said, Mayor?
Yeah, organized pessimism.
You're asked to pick three words about yourself.
And she picked pessimistic. Which is, I know, it's so honest. It was just great. Everyone else is, you know, all hoity.
Well, I'm not going to be loving, caring, sweet.
Mary wrote pessimistic.
It's funny because when they asked me, I said 6'5", blonde, and a surfer. And those are the three things that immediately occurred to me. All right, Pete, so you take it from here. What do the standings look like?
The standings after week six.
There's been some shakeup.
Yes.
There has been. Well, not necessarily. Dave Ennett is still has a commanding lead.
Who's that?
Well,
I mean, he's the sports director. He should lead.
He's not here. He's not picking first.
But.
Why are you guys on week six? It's week 13 out of curiosity.
We started on week 7.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
But it's almost over.
The But. Dave had a horrible week. Well, I told him he had a horrible week, and he was very defensive.
I bet he took that well.
Who did he take?
He took Carson Wentz.
Yeah, did not do
and,
well.
He did fine, but he didn't get a lot of points, is what Dave told me.
And, of course, that's the point of this game. The point is to get points.
So, but...
Did you point out to Dave you weren't insulting his family?
Yeah,
you were just pointing out that he didn't do well?
So he still has a lead, but Joe Romano had another good week.
Yeah, buddy. Not as good in Columbus, but off that deal.
Wow, yeah, look at this guy.
But thanks to an Ohio player, he was number one, picking Nick
Chubb.
Chubb.
That's right.
But
Chubb had a huge run.
But Steve Grzanich had a big week?
Tied for first.
Doing the end zone dance.
Who did he pick?
By the way, please tell me you're watching on the stream if Steve is dancing.
He picked Deshaun Watson from the Texans.
Of course he did. Yeah, no doubt.
So, they tie for first. I don't know who was the leaker.
And I think,
to get to the bottom of that.
If I recall, Steve, when it came to you, you picked somebody that had already been chosen, and then you just off the top of your head had to go with a second awesome option.
Yeah. Well, no, because like you guys do, I probably you have two or three different choices just in case of that very scenario.
Yeah. But if I remember correctly, it was someone already picked in that day's draft.
Yeah, like
so it wasn't like someone from, you know, because the rules are you can't pick the same player. So you can understand if it was like from week two.
Yeah.
But Steve wasn't paying attention. He got picked three players before.
Oh, come on, man. Give him his due.
Yeah.
Give him his due.
He's tied for first.
Yeah, he got lucky.
Yeah.
So Joe is now only 30 points behind Dave. That's in doable. Second place. Justin had a good week, picked Tom Brady. He is now in third place overall.
Way to go out on a limb.
Yeah. Mary Sandberg had a nice week, picking the New Orleans Saints defense.
How many points did I get for that?
20 points.
Whoa, look at that defense.
She's up. She finished fourth for the week.
I appear to be in a mini slump, I guess, at this point. Huh?
You had a bad week.
That's two in a row.
Wait, is he going to give a... Are you going to say it wasn't a bad week, they just didn't get points?
Oh, no, when I suck, I admit it.
But Mary getting 20 points now means that she's actually in the positive...
Oh,
that's right. She was at negative
five.
Negative,
yeah. So she's actually at 12 points total, which is a little far from...
Hear those footsteps?
77. But good week.
You never know.
And then Mary, Keenan Allen had a decent week. Dave, your mom, and then Steve coming up the rear.
Dead last, huh?
Matt Stafford.
Wow. Way to go, Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Nice job by you.
Yeah. Well, he played the Bears, so it's all right.
All right, so top of the list is who?
Dave in first place, Joe, Justin, Steve. Now you're in fourth place overall.
Ooh, falling like a stone.
Your mom is in fifth.
Pick it up here.
Mary Vandeveld in sixth. Steve Grzanich, despite having a terrific week, is still mired in seventh.
You know, last week I asked you to pick Stafford just so he would tank.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, as you continue to tank, make sure you pick a giant again this
week. That's true. Well, that wasn't bad.
Giant. Do we have to use adjectives like mired in that? I mean, this just seems
mired, stuck, swamped.
And Mary Boyle in last place.
Yes.
Please.
All right, first pick. Picks.
Mark
Carmen, by the way, will be picking for my mother.
A lot of pressure.
So Grzanich goes first.
Man, who's left? There's no.
Should we do a coin flip?
Yeah.
For the first...
No, you go, Steve.
Pick Mary or no Mary.
Grzanich goes first.
Mary. Oh, it's Mary. Which
she flipped
Mary?
Flipped her ID.
Yeah. Steve Grzanich, number one.
All right, let's go with Philip Lindsay of the Broncos.
Okay.
Is he doing research now? What's going on?
What was Philip Lindsay?
It's a terrible pick.
Come on.
Oh, it is? No, Joe, they all want him.
I will take Aaron Jones, running back, Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm. Justin?
Since he settled with the Uber driver, I'll take Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Number three.
You know he steals crab legs from the local grocery
store.
He's
not a great career so far, but I think he's going to blow it up in Tampa.
Mary Sandberg?
Ooh, I am going to go with Khalil Mack, our own Chicago Bears defense.
Boy, that's against the trick. Giants, Khalil Mack could score 7-8 touchdowns this weekend.
That's good. Mary V?
I hope this guy is playing. David Johnson?
Yeah,
Arizona.
Good pick.
I think we're out of the bye weeks, right?
The bye weeks are
all done. Oh, yeah. Good.
David Johnson. He's playing against Green Bay's defense, so I like your chances.
Oh, thank you.
Dave Ennett sent over his picks, and he picks Marcus Mariota.
Mm. This could be the week.
Aggressive pick.
Yeah, who's Tennessee have? I don't even know.
Titans are playing the New York Jets.
No, well, that's not bad.
Yeah. Steve, now your mom.
Mark Carmen, you're picking for my mom?
Yeah, I'm taking Tariq Cohn and Jordan Howard.
Only right, one.
You can pick one.
Take two people.
Why can't I just...
No, those both are taken.
Yeah, those are off the board.
Yeah, these are the off-the-board picks?
Yes.
Oh, now we have a whole other situation going on here.
Here we go. Let's go back to Mark.
Who's the Bears' third running back?
Give me one. Can I get a second here?
Kevin White.
These are... Okay, I will take Chase Daniel.
That's a good pick.
All right.
You could have a huge
gutsy. That's a gutsy move, Mom. Way to go.
And
no problem.
Finally, Steve.
says it with such sadness in his voice.
Finally, Steve.
Eric Ebron.
Oh, is this a tight end? I think this might be our first tight end pick.
Eric Ebron from the Indianapolis Colts. He also has scored 12 touchdowns this year. And it's all about the points, Dave Ennett.
All right. Good luck, everyone.
Meh.
Have you made picks yourself, separately, just to see how you do in comparison to everybody?
I'm in, various fantasy leagues, and I'm horrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks. I'll see you at the bottom.
My husband will give me updates on the league season, because one of them sends us checks each week, because he's topping it.
Oh.
What
sort of illegal gambling operation is he involved in?
I check out, though.
My wife
I have very little interest.
What do you mean, checks? How much money are we talking about?
I'm not at liberty to say.
My wife is now knows what the sigh is, a Sunday sigh. So if I'm looking at my phone, I go,
yeah.
She used to be like, what's up? What's going on? I'm like, Jameis Winston fumbled.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm out. So now she knows this.
She knows that look. And that sound. Pat Boyle, if you are arrested, I will visit you in prison. And I guarantee you, Sandberg's not visiting you. So I'll visit you in jail.
It's Monopoly money. They're not real checks.
Okay, keep trying to cover now. Feds, if you need the address, call me.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hi, it's 8:51. Mark Carmen, we have a listener complaining that you didn't mention DePaul. Do you have DePaul news for me?
DePaul won by 10, Steve. Good win over Cleveland State, 83-73. There's a lot of college basketball last night. We are under some time constraints, and I apologize for the diehard Demons fans that we missed it on the last report.
It's a 3-1-2 texter.
You did it earlier. I heard it earlier. To be Cleveland State, I was paying attention.
Thank you, Justin. Absolutely.
They should actually, this listener should be complaining to Steve and Justin because they interrupted your sports report. And when they interrupt your sports reports, you have to cut.
DePaul.
Thank you, Mary. I'd also like to mention that I think it was good that I left it out just to see that there actually is a DePaul Blue Demons basketball fan left.
Right,
I think that's good for everybody to know.
And political texts keep coming in from the 608. Liberals live in a fantasy land. There's no collusion now. There's no collusion yesterday. There's no collusion last year. There's no collusion. Collusion exists only in the mind of the modern liberal. Mm-hmm. I had no idea the Donald Trump liberal. Was listening.
That's my favorite magazine.
That's a text from Trump.
The modern liberal. Also, I don't live in fantasy land.
Liberal.
I don't live in fantasy land. I live in frontier land. It's the other part of the park. Tomorrowland.
608. Texter. Bob Mueller is not investigating Russian collusion. Bob Mueller is investigating Donald Trump. This is the very definition of a political witch hunt.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of lying going on.
Yeah.
I don't know how you separate the two. And also, we don't know what Robert Mueller is investigating. It's all speculation. Wait till this report comes out.
630, Steve, please explain to on how having a treasonous president is better than impeachment, not seeing the ratio you're excusing. What did I excuse?
I think Pat said in the segment that he'd rather...
No, I know, but this is the thing where... Right. Please. By definition, listening to the radio show and the station means listening.
Yeah.
Who has been harder on Trump than me? I'm harder on Trump than Melania is behind closed doors.
Well, this person is suggesting that Pat's take that impeachment would be bad for the country.
It is bad for the country.
This person's take is it's worse to keep Trump in office.
Which I think is a valid point and one I've made many times.
Yeah.
630, talk about Stephanie Kifowit making a thin line death threat on the Illinois House floor. Curious on your guys' thoughts if you haven't talked about it already.
This is the Legionella.
Yeah, Kifowit said that she wanted to pump Legionella into a Republican's home. I think it was in a broth. Yeah, in a broth of Legionella into and see how he feels about his family. It's a very heated topic. She was out of line. She apologized.
But it was also out of context. It was because the Representative Breen was saying that he didn't want to give more money for victims because this means trial lawyers, it'll be like Christmas for them. And she got mad because this was all about the Legionella or the Legionnaires' disease outbreak in Queens.
Yeah, but it was out of line.
Yeah. It's creative.
It was creative, but it was out of line. If she wants to go write, and if she wants to go write a book, you know, where she fills in those kind of scenes. But anyway, keep the text coming. You liberals, you right wing nut jobs!
I gotta leave
all of you.
I gotta leave a couple minutes early because I'm doing a photo shoot for Modern Liberal. It's a new
centerfold.
Who's the text message there from? I'm not going to read the text message, but from Sex Tape. Who's that?
We have a text message from Sex Tape again.
The name is Sex Tape. What is that?
Oh, that's true.
I want to know more.
The name. The name on this text string. The name on this text string is Sex Tape. So we have Donald Trump and Kim Kardashian listening. That's crazy. Who knew? Mm-hmm. All right, I have one of these fabulous jerseys, these sweaters, these official Chicago Blackhawks winter classic wear looks for you. This is a 1934 tribute. The black and white Blackhawks uniform is going to be what the Hawks will be wearing on New Year's Day at Notre Dame. And you can get yours now. You can order it at 312-759-0079. You can get it also at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. And as of yesterday, there were still tickets left for the game.
That's right.
So you can get those, too, at ChicagoBlackhawks.com at 312-759-0079. You want to go easy on them?
I'm going to go easy on them. And we're going to throw in a prize pack, a mysterious Blackhawks prize pack.
Prize pack.
Is it too much for me to ask that I know what we're giving away?
As you know, this has been a pursuit for the last couple of days.
All right, listen.
The Blackhawks are very tight-lipped about what they put in their prize packs, but I know it'll be good.
I hope it's one of those
Is there any chance that the Blackhawks weren't tight-lipped and we didn't get the details right? Is there any chance that's possible?
I've been told by our marketing team that they put a request in. Hmm. To the team, and we have not gotten an answer.
We have never gotten anything from the Blackhawks we weren't thrilled with, so enjoy it.
I'd like to personally thank the Blackhawks for everything they've ever done for me.
There you go.
Oh, that's nice.
So are we going to go seventh caller?
Yeah, I mean, who wants to miss out on the big prize pack?
Yeah, it's all bonus. It's bonus to the jersey anyway.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. We'll see you then.
Oh, you know what? We should be calling it a sweater, shouldn't we?
Yeah, technically, for sure. Abigail wants to go to another Blackhawks game. She's not even 3 years old, and she's asking to go to another Blackhawks game.
I like how she's got her own little sweater, too. Yeah.
Does Abigail, she live in a suite life? She going up in suite? Because that, I will tell you, will get kids back. I have an issue where we have shared the suite, and I brought Miles to it, and he's like, I want to go to Blackhawks game. And then I took him back to one without the suite. He hasn't asked again.
Yeah, there's no dessert cart when you sit.
Yeah, when
the
there's
stands.
No dessert cart, yeah. their allegiance changes. I'm like, watch the hockey, watch the play. Look at this. That's Patrick Kane. That's one of the best players of all time on the ice. And what is it? Dessert cart doesn't come down to this section.
Way rather have the good seat than the suite, but I would take any ticket at this point. It's been, you know, 2 years since I've gotten anything. Thanks.
Well, you are a professional sportscaster in this town with access to any event you want to go to.
Why can't I hang out with cool people
because
from WGN?
Because you're working the games.
Yeah, it's not possible.
Just one time. Just
you want, listen.
Doesn't anyone want to hang out with me around here?
I'm trying to keep it classy up there. You know, and the minute we open up to everybody, that's the problem.
Are you taking your girlfriend? If you bring your girlfriend, I'll get you tickets.
Sure, I'd love to. She would love to go to a Blackhawks game.
It's 8:58. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I've got Christmas on my mind.
Merry Christmas. It's 9/11.
I adore that lovely
Christmas time. Pete is here. It's always good to see Christmas Pete taking some time away from the North Pole.
It's great to be here.
And by the way, do you have any special warm weather tips, you know, to stay warm when it's cold outside, spending all that time at the North Pole?
Bundle up.
Bundle up. Let's write that down, everybody. Bundle up.
Canada Goose.
Mm. Yeah, no.
Is that real?
Yeah, are you real. Giving that out? It's a very expensive gift. Are you giving out the Canada Goose jackets?
For Secret Santa?
Yeah.
Not this year.
Yeah, it's a new Secret Santa policy. We have $1,000 or less for everybody. Christmas Pete, $100 gift card, Tree Time, with the most ginormous selection of the artificial Christmas trees, the unique decorations anywhere, everything Christmas, Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. Okay, you have a question?
Yes.
I hope we have some answers.
This is going to be a tough one. In the season two.
Now, hold that thought. I should probably mention who won the sweater, the jersey.
Yes.
Who won the jersey?
Who is that?
The problem is Joe told me, and I got it. Monica from the North Side.
Monica
from the North Side. Way to go. All right, I'm sorry, Pete. Now please continue with the Christmas question.
In the season 2, episode 11 of Happy Days.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days.
Original air date December 17th, 1974 on ABC.
Okay.
Guess who's coming to Christmas? Neighborhood tough Arthur Herbert Fonzarelli,
mm-hmm.
also known as Fonzie,
sure.
claims he is going to a big family Christmas get-together in Waukesha. Richie Cunningham, famously played by Clint Howard's brother Ron,
mm-hmm.
is skeptical of that claim because when he goes to Fonzie's work on Christmas Eve, Fonzie is still there.
Mm.
What does Richie see Fonzie eating that makes him believe Fonzie is alone at Christmas?
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
Heavy question, and my favorite part of it was Clint Howard's brother, Ron.
That's very
heavy, heavy, heavy-duty question. All right.
While we're waiting for an answer, there's a new episode of Molly and Pete Save Christmas
up at
WGMRadio.com. You'll have to give it a listen.
What's the movie?
Christmas Land.
Okay.
And by the way, plug this station. What station is this on?
WGN Radio.
I'm kidding.
No, I thought you were doing. Don't you do a Christmas thing on another station too?
No,
he's a DJ on another station.
Yeah. Oh, what's the
Chirp
station?
Radio 107.1 FM.
And what is it?
He's got the sweatshirt on today. You can see.
It's just a radio station. We play music. So I like
but you
it.
Play anything you want.
I play anything I want,
Dave's which here. Is why I like
we
it.
Play we music. Play music. It's a radio station.
That's pretty much sure.
Could be news talk.
Well, because I think what you thought was I would be upset by this because you've worked for people that are mean. And the fact of the matter is, I just wanted to make sure you got a plug for this show that you're doing. That's all.
I appreciate that.
Every Wednesday, what are you? Your
noon
your
to
shift.
Three every noon Wednesday three,
yeah. on Chirp Radio.
Yep.
And
we chirp the hits.
Obscure. You do more like unsigned.
Yeah.
Artists.
Yeah. Independent.
Let's not go crazy with the plug. all right. On Happy Days, what was Fonzie eating that proved to Richie he was having Christmas alone?
And this is a really terrific episode of Happy Days because you learned a couple of good things about Fonzie. One, that he's very big on Christmas.
Mm?
He thought that was well known about the Fonz when they were surprised.
Mm.
And also, he's really great at reading poetry.
Wow. All revealed in this particular episode.
In this holiday episode. And another thing I want to mention is that it's not available on Netflix, Hulu. It's not easily streamable.
Do you have to have the DVD collection?
They might show it, you know, on like MeTV and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to YouTube and watch it, It comes up from 1974, and it comes up with commercials.
From 1974?
Wow. And I have a couple of, I have a couple
of... Oh, do you have an example?
Can we have a couple, can we play a couple of the commercials?
Oh, are they Christmas commercials?
Can we play maybe the Burger King commercial?
Let me hear it.
Burger King gift certificates are back. This year we've got something nifty. Two new sizes for the thrifty. Half a dollar or $2.50. Have it your way. Now Burger King gift certificates come two ways. Five for $2.50, singles for 50 cents. So you can give a nice little gift without splitting up a whole big book.
How forward thinking of them. Yeah. What could you get for 50 cents then?
Whopper.
I bet you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I bet the hamburgers are probably a quarter.
Yeah.
And then my favorite commercial was for Zenith Television.
Here's that.
I'm a sports nut, and the thing I can't stand is the grass in the football field looking blue. I've had three or four color television sets, and Zenith is the first color television set that I've had where the colors are perfect.
In a nationwide survey, more Zenith owners said they'd buy the same brand again than did the owners of any other color TV. Listen to the experts, and you'll choose Zenith Chromacolor 2.
That guy did every voiceover in the
70s. Big voice, man.
Totally did. Yeah.
Confused.
He had a Zenith
Who would TV. Like some SpaghettiOs?
That was Ken Glenn, Zenith TV owner.
Wow.
Steve, you might want to propose that to Apt, that they might want to go with the grass looks green on the TVs they're selling.
Right. I like the fact that Ken had many color TVs through the years.
You're right.
Yeah,
four or five.
I think it really lost in the weeds on what customers like after the fact and all that right there. That was
all right, I think we have a winner. So
go for the Happy Day, stay for the commercials.
Let's go to Chris. Chris is in Oak Brook. Chris, do you know what Fonzie was eating?
He was eating a can of raviolis.
What's the matter with you? You've been moping around ever since we got home.
Oh, I guess I'm just thinking about Fonzie.
Fonzie? Why Fonzie?
Dad, I don't think he went to Waukesha.
Sure he did. Now look, he's with his family, you're with your family, you're both where you belong.
Richard, do you think Fonzie's really alone?
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Well, he made up some big story about a party in Waukesha, but I know he's at home. I saw him eating ravioli out of a can. Yeah. Now, what kind of a way is that to spend Christmas Eve?
Ding, ding, ding!
Nice.
That's great. Yeah, by the way, I had no idea that Richie's dad was Casey Kasem.
it sounded exactly like Casey Kasem.
Right? Crazy.
Richie's voice was really a little high.
Well, he hadn't gone through puberty yet. So congratulations to you, Chris. You've got yourself a $100 gift card to Tree Time, everything Christmas at Tree Time on Pepper Lake Road, or on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, I should say. Can we get more reverb on this? The most ginormous selection of the artificial Christmas trees and unique decorations anywhere. So there you go. That's for Chris in Oak Brook. All right. What else do you have for me?
A couple of things to do this holiday season. This upcoming weekend, I will be at the Renegade Craft Fair in Bridgeport at the Bridgeport Art Center with my wife.
Why?
Selling her cards.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
If you need Christmas cards.
Can I plug?
Yeah.
After you plug?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So Bridgeport Art Center, fifth floor, come buy Christmas cards.
Can we order your wife's cards online anywhere?
Yeah. They are cool cards.
LaFamiliaGreen.com.
She has an Etsy shop. That's where I do my ordering of my La Familia Green cards.
So just search La Familia on Etsy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bridgeport Art Center is great.
I ordered my Christmas cards this year, and one of the versions I got from her is a scratch and sniff, a hot cocoa scratch and sniff.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
How's her English coming? Is it coming along?
It is coming along.
Yeah, okay. And Mary?
I will be setting up my own crafts at the Gingerbread Junction in Naperville by you, Steve.
I have to come by.
Hill Elementary School.
I'll have to come by.
Yeah,
I'll bring
Abigail. You can go there you go to Renegade and see Pete and Molly.
Totally.
There you go. Mm.
So you're saying when I get your Christmas card, Mary, it will smell like hot cocoa?
Yes, except for you are not getting a Christmas card from me.
Okay.
But if... Yes. The trash man,
how about when this smells like coal?
Yeah, our waste management guy will get a hot cocoa one.
Oh, okay.
Does it take you longer to send out the Christmas card you get or to tell people they're not getting them?
I know.
Music I can recommend is a song by, in honor of the Cunninghams, I'm going to play a group called Family of the Year, and this is their song from 2011 called Oh My God, It's Christmas.
Here we go.
Oh my God, it's Christmas. Time for every
pleasant.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Snappy. I like it.
And another thing I want to recommend too is I want to recommend the Chris Kindle Market. Right here.
Chris Kindle does a great job every year. I got it. So the whole Kindle family.
And because my wife and I went on Saturday, and we were waiting in line for the Glug, and I looked to my right, Ryan Sandberg.
Oh, what?
Standing in line.
At the Chris. First off, standing in line.
Yeah, right.
What is it? Not 1985 anymore?
Right.
There's nobody at the Kindle Market that's like, I can get you to the front, sir. There's no VIP treatment.
Well, I was like,
you know, probably threw him off the hair.
Yeah.
You know, the old guy, Ryan Sandberg, he would have known who it was.
Exactly. And because I wasn't sure, and I was like, is this?
This looks like Ryan Sandberg's neighbor.
It's not his style. Yeah. He's a very ordinary Ryan Sandberg. He's not going to jump the line. He doesn't feel like
Plus
he's better than people.
Chilly, so he is probably bundled.
He was wearing
a
coat and a scarf.
Cubs hat?
He was not wearing a Cubs hat.
Wow.
Cubs hat. He's wearing a jersey with his name on it.
Like he's got the pants on. He could wear like a fleece Cubs hat.
Right.
And that was cold.
And when we went, you know, I've been having problems with eggplants being delivered. And I had another one delivered to me on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
We never discussed it.
So I brought the eggplant with me to the Chris Kindle Market because I was going to take pictures of it with you know, various Christmassy things around town.
It's your favorite assignment for me, isn't it?
And you can see the gallery on WGNradio.com. So I was thinking, I'm like, I'm going to get Ryan Sandberg to take a picture with this.
Fantastic.
Eggplant. Yeah.
Did you ask?
I chickened out.
Oh, he's a good guy. He would have done.
I was not 100% sure.
You don't need Ryan Sandberg walking around saying, this guy came up to me at the Chris Kindle Market.
First off, Ryan Sandberg, this is how this would have gone down. Hey, I'm Pete from the Steve Cochran Show, and he would have went, who? And then you say, can I take a picture with this? And he would have, what, why? And you go, well, just, it's fun. We're doing a fun thing. He would have forgotten about it 8 seconds after the photo. Would have been perfectly fine.
Here's what he would have said to you. He said, I'm just trying to spend some time with my family, bud. Could you please just give me my space?
That has never come out of Ryan Sandberg's mouth.
He
not one time.
Leave it alone. You think he went to the Chris Kindle Market alone? He's usually with grandkids or his wife. I follow him on Instagram. He documents.
Well, I went to Instagram to see what his winter coat was like, and so I confirmed it was a winter coat.
They were just on the golf course in the snow this past week. He was playing at his golf course in the snow.
Bud, if I give a picture to you, I got to get a picture to everybody. So I just wish I could, but I can't.
It's Ryan Sandberg's new character, Ryan Sandberg Jackass. Yeah, he's not doing it that often. Can I make a request?
Yeah.
For a Christmas Pete. I would like to hear Christmas Pete's top 10 Christmas songs, where you give us a clip of 10 through 2.
Okay.
In an upcoming episode, and then we'll play number 1.
Great. If you go to Spotify and search me on Spotify, Peter Zimmerman, I have a Christmas playlist with about 315.
But they're not ranked.
Christmas songs. They're not ranked.
But so I want to hear your ranking.
I will rank them,
Okay. And Mark Carmen, what were you saying?
I just wanted to let everybody know that I interviewed Ryan Sandberg at his house, Steve. Thank you for...
Bragger.
Don't you agree that he's a nice guy?
He was the nicest.
Yeah, he's perfectly fine.
Would he take a picture with an eggplant?
He would. He brought me into his basement after the interview. Did the interview in the garage. And
tied you up like Bruce Willis.
Yes. So he didn't invite you in the living room? He had to go in the basement or the garage?
Well, that's where all of his memorabilia was.
Was he wearing the same winter coat that he was wearing on Instagram?
There's a lot of questions we'll get through in a moment. What's coming up at 9:30?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Friends of the program, Dr. Most, the new podcast, Steve Cochran Podcast. These are long form interviews. We don't have time to do in that detail on the regular show. And I talked to Dr. Most earlier this week. It's up at WGNradio.com along with all the other podcasts, including Doc Emmerich. It's not just doctors. Talk to other people as well.
Doc Most, because I mentioned that I love pimento cheese dip, he sent me 5 containers of pimento cheese dip from North Carolina, his favorite. And I thought, oh, this will last forever. We are down to 1.5 containers, and I got it on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Wow. Because you're eating it, or who's eating it?
Pat and I, 3.5 containers of pimento cheese dip gone down in the household.
There's no making out at your house with that breath.
There's pimento cheese dip doesn't have
have a garlic.
How would either one of you know? You're
garlic.
Both eating it.
We got jalapeno and bacon and original. That's what he sent us.
And thank you, Doc, for that. The other friend of the show I want to mention is the one that's on today. We always like seeing Mark Carmen on the program. Nice of you to fill in for Dave in it.
Hi, Steve. Thank you. Always my pleasure.
We were talking earlier this morning about your relationship off the air, and
Great.
I am known for really getting in the middle of people's business that has nothing to do with me.
You've never done that before, Steve.
Well, Dave Ennett's daughter-in-law. I tried to explain to her how to have a baby so Dave would have a grandchild. And that went so well, she's never come back to the studio. Fortunately, she and Dave's son are still married. But in your case...
Mary looks very concerned about what's going to happen right now.
I am. I'm ready to defend you. Okay. I like to step in when Steve does this.
In your case, Chelsea, your girlfriend of how long?
Almost 2 years, Steve.
And well, she's a beautiful girl.
Year and three quarters.
I mean, You're so over your skis on this, it isn't even funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd hate to see you blow this. So when are we going to take the next step on this thing? Oh. And when I say we, I mean Chelsea, you and me.
So you want to come to when I propose? Is that what you're saying? We're all going to do it together?
Well, I mean, I could certainly be there for that. But as you know, I'm an internet minister.
Oh.
As an internet minister, I could do the services.
Steve, I would love to have you officiate the wedding.
Yeah. I would say, if I could speak for Chelsea, she gets the decision, and I'm going to say she doesn't want Steve to
really?
The ceremony.
Wow. I can also do it. I can also perform the ceremony. So, yes, Mark, if you're looking, I'm ready.
Yeah, Joe is also ordained. How many weddings have you done?
I've done 2.
I've done 11.
But he was the backup in the last wedding.
Yep.
In case his sister went down.
Both of the weddings that I performed in, they are both still married. Are you
10 for 11?
Yeah. So 100%, man. How you feel?
And the 11th, which was actually the first, the dude had already been married 3 times. Are you surprised it didn't work out?
No.
Okay.
Well, Chelsea's a huge fan of the show, Steve. So I like
Chelsea very much, whether she likes the show or not.
No, I'm just
and I'm just wondering, when are you going to pull the ripcord on this?
You know, nailing down a date seems kind of ridiculous to me, Steve. Why not just...
Do you love her?
Oh, I love her so much.
And is your life special because she's in it?
It very much is.
Then what are we waiting for?
Well, Dr. Phil?
There's a lot of fact.
I agree. What do you care?
Do you like her parents?
Wow.
A lot of what do you mean, what do I care? I like Mark. Care?
Yeah, but they could Chelsea? Have a great relationship without having to be have to go to marriage. They can do whatever they want.
Well, why are you married? Justin.
Well, why am I married? What do you mean?
Matt, why are you married?
I'm married because I love my wife.
Okay, well, he loves Chelsea. Let's go.
But every situation is different. He doesn't have to be pressured in by Uncle Steve here.
I love what's going on.
By the way, it's Big Brother Steve. I'm not old enough to be his uncle.
That's a good point.
We'll get there while we get there, Steve. There's just no reason.
Are we headed down that path?
We're doing a great job.
Okay.
We haven't encountered any adversity.
Except from the duck.
Yeah, well, you got to go through adversity first. Yeah.
I got to tell you, at the end of the day, she's not going to wait forever.
Way to get that scarcity out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You sound like my father,
who is going to turn 93. Couple that...
Did you hear that?
I'm sorry?
You just sound like his 93-year-old father. That's what he says to Mark.
Oh, that's sweet.
That she's
Thank
not going to wait forever.
Thank you. I'm also a big fan of your dad. From the 815, Steve renewed my vows in Vegas, and we're still married.
Oh,
I mean, how many times do you need to hear
that? Was very special. I was there to
that
see
was
that.
Nice.
Well, that's one.
At the Vegas Stadium.
10 for 11. I'm sorry. Are we taking a break?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Texter 630, Steve, one of my best friends asked me to be the minister for his wedding. Any tips so I don't screw it up? I would respond to that text, but we can't respond to text today because we're slowly fixing a technical problem here. But no, the way not to screw it up, and I'd ask Super Joe to chime in on this with his extensive 2-wedding experience. Don't make it about you. Make it about the couple. And make sure they pause to enjoy the experience because it goes very fast. What else would you throw in, Joe?
You know, again, not to make it about yourself, but to inject some of you into the ceremony. Yeah. That's why they asked you to do it. But don't, you know...
They may have asked you to do it because they couldn't get anybody else.
Debatable.
The other thing is, you also, in my opinion,
do you do band names during your ceremony?
I kind of do, yeah.
That's one of your go-tos.
In the middle, I come up with band names.
I was going to say, I would only go to a wedding if I knew you were officiating for the banter.
Right.
Yeah. I want a tight five.
Right. A tight five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today, I...
Keep it short, though. That's important, too. Yeah. Keep it short.
I have you, Steve and Leslie. I was once in a band called Steve and Leslie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See?
Yeah. See, there you go. It works. The other thing, Pat and Joe, I'm sure you've done this in your extensive experience of the 2 weddings. You go to the couple, and you get anecdotes from each of them. Stuff like, how did you meet?
What attracted you to the other person? What do you think will cause the eventual divorce? All of that stuff that you can work into the ceremony.
When I got married, the priest had this emergency situation, had to leave, whatever that means.
During the ceremony?
No, like a day before. So we got the deacon, right? And the deacon did that, just what you said, Steve, met with us. But he did most of the talking. It's going to be fine. I got it. We got up there, and he went on this meandering take. And one of the things he said was, he goes, "Now, Justin, you have to be patient because Julie, she may come home with some expensive pottery,
no,
or some expensive jewelry, or a car, and
no,
you're gonna have to work that out." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" Like, it's like some, like, I need to be patient when my wife spends a ton of money.
Sounds like that happened to him.
Yeah, I was like, "What are you? But I'm that's not sure you're supposed to be doing this."
That's such a 1955 move.
But the idea of, like, she's going to come back with an expensive car, like, I just spent money on expensive. I don't know. It was just so weird. It was so weird.
For me, the meeting pre-wedding was, I performed the ceremony for both of my sisters. So it was
nice.
It was also a muscle, you know, do not mess with my sister situation.
That's nice. Italian type.
Two birds, one stone.
So you looked at your two future brothers-in-law and you go, were you at the last wedding or do I have to go over this again?
Yeah, exactly.
You're really lovey to your sister in the vows and you turn to the guy and you're just like, "So, you hurt her."
Yeah.
"You got to deal with me."
I think we know where this is going.
Remember that time you made her cry when you didn't call her back and she was in her room? You know, I know that.
This really sounds like a lovely wedding.
I mean, did you see the Romano, just reminding people, there's pictures at WGNradio.com for everybody's Thanksgiving, and the Romano family picture, that is not a family that I would ever mess with. Those were some serious people.
They're lovely people, but they'll kill you with their bare hands.
Some of them weren't smiling. Like, they're not messing around. His dad is wearing a nice Bears, it looks like a vest, a very good Chicago Bears
vest. I love that picture, yeah.
I hope that's helpful to Pat. What are you doing Sunday night?
Chicago Accent Challenge Tournament.
Woof, woof.
How about it? A year. We have done the Chicago Accent Challenge on WGN Radio for a year, and I have assembled 8 contestants for the final live stage show at Chicago Theater Works for the Chicago Podcast Festival.
And not easy to pick
Sunday
8, right?
Was it?
Not easy to pick 8.
No, it wasn't. It was not easy. And to put everybody on stage, a lot of these people were a part of that assembly.
Yeah. So you know, we all weighed in and voted.
We voted, and now it comes out of special judges, Scott Goldstein, a longtime Chicagoan, Alderman Nick Spisato from the 38th Ward, who everyone knows has the best Chicago accent in Chicago.
Does Nick know it, or is he one of these guys that says he can't hear it?
He knows it. It's a thinner one.
Okay.
So you get those. You get a lot of people call up for the Chicago accent. They go deep dish.
Yeah.
You know? But his is the more thin. You know, what you do up here.
And it should be up in your nose, right?
That's a Chicago accent. Yeah. And then Katie Rich from SNL, from Saturday Night Live, a Weekend Update writer, is going to also be one of the judges. And the questions, last night I got around to some of the questions I want to ask you guys, some of the Chicago questions. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Let me throw one here. Let me see. Name a famous local dentist.
My go-to would be Dennis DeYoung, but...
Right.
You got a Dennis Farina, right?
Right. Yeah, I would have accepted Dennis Franz, too.
Oh, yeah.
Did that.
Yeah.
All right. Name this...
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman would make it.
Oh, very good one.
What about Jerry the Dentist from the Bob Newhart Show?
Excellent!
Oh, I like that.
He said Dennis, but that's fine.
Dentist, yeah.
I thought he said dentist.
Me too.
Dentist.
That's part of the fun of it. All right, how about this? Name 3 things, this is for the younger crowd here. Name 3 things that used to be at Belmont and Clark.
Wow.
Things that used to be at Belmont and Clark.
You can go back generations on that.
Pizza's, Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep, that's one.
A Taco Bell.
No, Taco Bell.
Does Clark's count? No longer there, but
Clark's,
right down the street?
Yes, that count.
A hot dog stand.
Okay, that's
2.
And then, come on.
Starbucks?
The biggest one that everyone went to Dunkin' Donut, or went to the area to get their leather jacket, the alley. Right?
Pete had that one, too.
Wow. Very impressive.
Right, I'll give you one more. What did the Blues Brothers hate more than anything?
Illinois Nazis.
Yeah.
Man, Pete's too good at this game. I mean, I'm really good at this game.
Right, so you got all these. I'm working on all these questions.
Speaking of Pete, a texter from the 219 wanted to know Molly's website for the cards. It's La Familia Green, LaFamilia Green, GREN.com.
Search it, Netsy.
Yeah. La Familia.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so. I don't know if you know this. La Familia means La family.
It does.
Yeah. Oh, for that.
So Sunday night, Chicago Accent.
What about tickets?
Tickets are $5, and you can get them at the door. You can get them online at Chicago Pop. Oh, yeah. You want to do that?
Yeah.
I have the power to do that.
How many pair you want to give away?
Let's give away two pair. We want to say seventh caller in this
one? Are you going to say, no, caller 33.
Do you want to go 33, 33rd?
Yeah,
33rd caller?
Yeah, and 34.
And 33rd and 34th caller. So get the
Pete should have fun answering those.
312-981-7200 right now. You get tickets for free to come to the show on Sunday night. It's an early show, too. I'm after your heart, Steve, I learned this. The show is at 6 o'clock because I don't want to stay out too late.
Yeah, you'll be in bed by 10.
That's right. That's the idea.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah,
so I like that Pete was good at your trivia because Pete used to play on a trivia league with a friend and his family at bars, you know, where you go to bars and play trivia.
That's very hot.
Yeah, and but he wasn't good at it, and the mom of his friend would berate him for not getting answers right. And so he would fold under the pressure, and it was a really bad experience. So.
Sounds like a lot of fun. All right, so 33, 34.
33 and 34, 312-981-7200.
But if you don't win them, it's only $5.
$5.
Buy them at the door?
You can get them at the door.
Okay.
I'm trying to work a deal with the Podcast Festival to be like, they're just free. You know, like show up and just
But then you got to give people $5 back for the ones that already bought the tickets.
Yeah, that's true.
9:58. You know, speaking of plugs, I should plug the New Year's Eve show while we're at it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, I'm doing a New Year's Eve show for the first time since last New Year's Eve.
With Rocky Laporte and Dean Richards, John DeCasse.
Yeah. What you said.
Night of 1,000 Stars.
Tivoli, Downers Grove.
I believe you'll be home early enough to beat all the crazies out there.
That's exactly right. Eventbrite.com. Search Steve Cochran. Buy your tickets there.
And we know for sure three of the four people I listed will make you laugh.
Ooh.
Yeah, one of them won't. We do that every year. We have one random unfunny person involved in the show.
It's an ego thing because it makes the other three
look better.
Yeah. Yeah. And whoever's picked not to be funny, you have to really suck so the next person looks even better.
Now I want in. I want to see this.
Roll
are tickets available, Steve? Where could somebody get tickets?
You could get them at Eventbrite. Eventbrite.com.
I'm there right now.
Yeah, I know people. I mean, if you want to go, I can get you tickets at the regular
price.
I'd
like to see somebody not be funny.
What's the...
That'd be great.
What's the title of the show?
Hey, it's New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. I always thought it'd be funny. Did you have to send out demo tapes when you were trying out for comedy clubs? You'd send a club in another city a demo tape?
Sure.
I thought it'd be funny to do a demo tape where no one in the audience was laughing at all, just staring straight ahead.
Right.
Just
to
see if you'd still get hired.
And do cut-ins from different angles, and they're all having a terrible time.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Wouldn't that be great?
When are you going to go back on stage with me?
Oh, I'm done.
Do it.
You're done? What do you mean you're done?
Yeah, I can't do it.
Why?
Did you ever see?
Is it anxiety?
Justin
Kaufman? Like an anxiety guy?
Justin?
Yeah, I've seen Bill.
Okay, well, that's my point.
His stand-up is so good.
Bill's great.
He's a great stand-up.
Was.
No, you still are.
Listen, you had one incident involving fruit, and yet you won't come back and say
no one saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming.
And I don't know why Bertrand threw it.
But it's like saying you were a great fourth grader. You should go back and do fourth grade more.
It is kind of fourth grade, but it's fun fourth grade.
Yeah, when did you retire from comedy?
I think you did your last show with me.
Yeah, I think I did.
Is that why you retired?
Yeah,
that was it. You said
he was the unfunny one.
Be not funny guy.
It's like, I don't like this one. I don't like this role. I gotta get out.
Leave on a high note, I said.
So you'll continue to not consider it?
Yeah, I'm going to keep not considering it.
Okay, fantastic.
And I have an announcement planned soon.
What are you guys doing today?
We have a game that Bill has put together. He should be a game show host. That's what he should do.
He'd be a great game show.
He's too busy doing stand-up to do a game show.
I don't have time to not do a game show also.
So we have a $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's to give away with that game.
Steve, and I might not also open a restaurant soon.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm looking at restaurant sites.
Yeah, that's great.
I might not have that.
That's great.
Thanks.
Are you not getting any plastic surgery, too?
I might not.
Okay, fantastic.
I'm puzzled.
And Steve Bertrand standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom when you introduce him.
All right. Well,
I'll see you Monday. I'm not here tomorrow.
Have a nice weekend.
3-day weekend. Woo!
Yeah. I just have stuff I need to do. Sometimes the show gets in the way.
Oh, right.
I hear you.